All right. Well, today, as Mary mentioned, it is week 5 of our Not a Fan series, a series that is all about becoming a completely committed follower of Jesus. I encourage you to take your outline out of your program, because we're going to be taking some notes as we go along, and that helps you to remember things, even if you throw it away the second you walk out of here, even on your way out. Just writing it down is going to help you remember what we talk about today, so I encourage you to do that. Today's message is entitled, More Than Rules. More Than Rules. Now, I hate to begin things this way, but I'm about to give away my man card this morning and talk about chick flicks. I'm hoping you'll just bear with me today. Have you ever seen a romantic comedy where the two main characters' friends or family get in the way of their relationship? Have you ever seen that kind of a movie? The friends, the family, they get in the way. Yeah, no guys raise their hand because you weren't willing to give your card away. And that's fine. That's fine. But I saw the ladies, and I saw a couple of brave gentlemen that say, hey, I'm married. That's the deal. That's what comes with it. Well, maybe it happens because the man goes to the young woman's work to profess his love, but when he gets there, he's blocked by her friends, her coworkers, and they say, she's not interested in you, even though she is, and you know she is because you've been watching the movie. And then maybe he goes back and he goes to, you know, out with his buddies that night, and they say, ah, she's not worth it, you know, you deserve better than her, but he doesn't, she is worth it, and you know that, and you get frustrated because you think, man, I just want these supposed friends to get out of the way and let these two get together. You're right, my man card is just gone now, I was right. I almost started crying in the middle of that. Well, something more serious, but very similar, does go on with Christ and the church. And it makes me angry to see it. There are people in the church who misrepresent Christ to the world. They're not communicating his true intentions, like the friends or family in the chick flick. We've been talking about, up until now, mostly those that misrepresent Jesus by trying to sell a cheap and easy Jesus that comes with no commitment in your life. Today, we're going to talk about another misrepresentation of Jesus, and that is like the religious teachers in the video clip that we've seen, and like some have done throughout history, they've tried to boil down faith in Christ to a list of rules or religious ritual. That's what Christianity is. It's following the rules. But there's two problems with this rules alone religion. And that's the first thing we're going to write down on our outline. At least two problems that we're going to look at this morning. The first one is this. It's that people become discouraged in rules alone religion. The rules overwhelm us. They can. Our self-worth can become wrapped up in adherence to a list of rules. Those who perhaps follow more rules or the more popular rules in that club, they look down on those that are following fewer rules. And since no one can really measure up, many give up even trying. And this leads to a Christian walk that is going nowhere. The second problem with rules alone religion, this misrepresentation, is that God is misrepresented. You want to write down that God is misrepresented. He's seen as cold and distant, a cosmic rule keeper that's bent on punishing the unfaithful. This rules alone kind of religion has led many to reject faith in Christ altogether. And it's such a shame, because rules alone religion is a misrepresentation of the God and the vibrant faith in him that we read about in the pages of the Bible. So what's the alternative? What do we read about in the pages of the Bible? Well, that's going to be wrapped up in our main idea today. That's the one thing we're going to be talking about the rest of our time together, and it goes like this. Our main idea today is to choose relationship over religion. To choose relationship over religion. Jesus was once asked what the most important rule was. And by the way, you heard from Rick and Kathy, this message, I hope, will whet our appetite for what we're going to learn at the 9:30 series the next few weeks, because it's based on the same thing. Look here at what happened with Jesus when he was asked what the most important rule was. This was a rule keeper who wanted to know this. And he said, it goes like this. He said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And you can help me out when we get to the yellow words. That'd be great. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." You notice, leave that up there for a minute, notice that Jesus didn't recite the Ten Commandments here. He didn't say that tithing or giving to the building pledge was the most important thing that you could be doing. He didn't even say voting Republican or Democrat was most important. He said loving God with all you've got. And next, loving others like yourself. That's most important. It's about relationship. The Bible is full of analogies that use human relationships to explain what our interaction with God ought to be like. One of the top analogies, because it's one of the most intimate relationships we have here on earth, it's the most intimate relationship, is the analogy of a marriage. Jesus uses this in the New Testament. He calls the church his bride in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in Revelation. All the Gospels and Revelation, Jesus calls the church his bride. The Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, uses this analogy of a husband and a wife. Most famous is Ephesians 5, you see it up there, where he compares the relationship between Christ and the church to that of a husband and a wife. And this is also used in the Old Testament. It isn't just when the New Testament came around they started using this. You look through the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, many of the other prophets, you'll see God calling his people his bride, talking about his relationship in marital terms with his people. And so that's what we're going to focus on today, is our relationship with God, choosing relationship. Now, when I counsel a married couple that's maybe having some struggles, some problems in their marriage, I don't just have them write down a few new rules to follow. Like, these are 8 ways that you can be a better husband, 8 ways you can be a better wife, because when we're struggling in a relationship, those rules, they just feel like weights. Rules alone, just they weigh us down. Instead, or in addition to that, because there are some things we need to be changing sometimes, but in addition to that, I try to get the husband and the wife to remember why they chose to love that person in the first place and why they should still choose to love that person today, because following a few new rules won't repair their marriage, but choosing to love that person all over again, that can save their marriage. And so that's how we're going to go about this today. Instead of 4 new ways to follow Jesus, we're going to talk about 4 reasons to choose a relationship with Jesus. And the first one there, under that on your outline, is that he built us for relationship. That's the first reason to choose a relationship. He built us for it. The very first chapter in the Bible goes like this. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness.' So God created mankind in his own image." Help me out. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We were created in God's likeness, in his image. We are different than everything else he created because he created us to be like him in some very special ways. And one of those ways is that we are relational beings. We were created to have relationships with each other and a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. And with Jesus, look at Colossians 1:16. The reference is on your outline, but you want to either look it up in your Bible to make sure I'm not lying to you. You think, no, it doesn't say that. Yes, it does. Or you can look up on the screen behind me. That's fine, too. This is talking about Jesus. The author writes, "Everything was created through him." We saw that in Genesis 1 there. "And for him, We were created to be relational beings so that we could have a relationship with our Creator. If God's primary purpose for creating us were rule-keeping, to make a bunch of rule-keepers, he could have made some robots, like these ones. Nope, I was just testing them. All right. There they are. Those are some good-looking robots. I want my robots. All right. These robots don't have free will, and we could have been created to do what God wanted, precisely what he wanted, 24/7. That would have given God joy, and it would have expressed his creativity. But when God made human beings, get this, he made us with the ability to be able to choose to break the rules. He did this, the Bible teaches, with full knowledge that we would break the rules. So God had something even greater in mind than robots when he made us. It was a people who could choose a relationship with him, because love is by definition a choice. We had to have that choice. In doing this, God expressed even greater creativity. And he gave the potential for immeasurably greater joy, as his creation could enjoy itself and could enjoy her creator. I'll illustrate this, no pun intended, by talking about when I used to draw cartoons. This is a cartoon I drew. I was going to show you the whole cartoon, but Leah talked me out of it, so you can thank her later. But when I was in high school, I thought I was going to be an artist for Disney growing up, and so I used to draw cartoons a lot. And the nice thing about drawing a cartoon is that there's zero risk of anything going wrong. I control every inch of every single frame that's going on, one after the other. And so I can make happen exactly what I want to happen. It expressed my creativity, and it gave me joy to see the product of what I had created when it was done. It was a lot of hard work went into it. But I'll tell you what, when Leah and I had a son, when we had a human life brought into the world that we made together, when we had a second son on top of that, now these were, by the way, I'm going to use a lot of pictures of my family today, not just to show them off, but because I want to use my most important relationships to teach about our most important relationship with Christ. That really is the purpose, but also to show them off. All right. Well, anyway, these boys here, they are relational beings with choice and imagination. We get to enjoy watching them and living with our boys. We get they bear our image, and it blows away the joy of creating a cartoon because we get to interact with them. Our kids can enjoy having been born. Hopefully they're having a good time. At least when Xander has his oatmeal squares, he's having a good time. They get to learn from us and grow with us and interact with us and hopefully enjoy us, and that's incredible. And that's why you were created by your God. And so if you're following the rules today, that's good, follow the rules. If you're just following the rules today and calling that Christianity, you're missing out on the most important reason that you were created, and that was to interact with, to have a relationship with your God. It isn't just about following the rules. And so something we did on the first week was to define the relationship, and I'd like to just take a moment before we go to the next point, and I'd like you to just define where you're at with God right now. Where's your relationship? I'm going to use the marriage analogy and up behind me here. Maybe you would say you're single. That is, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. That's where you're at. Maybe you would say, well, things seem to be getting serious. I'm at the point where I'm trying to make a decision if it's worth it to go all in a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you would say today, using that analogy, I'm happily married, but I'm always looking for ways to improve, to make things better. Or maybe, if you're really honest, you're looking at where you are right now with God, you'd say, we're having some problems, like marital problems. I feel like we're just limping along right now in our relationship. God doesn't want that. Maybe looking at this list here, you're encouraged. You say, yeah, I like where I'm at right now. Well, that's great. But maybe you're feeling a little uneasy with where you are. Well, I've got good news for you. We're gonna talk about how to repair things. In fact, I've got great news for you. The second point on our outline is this. The second reason to choose a relationship with Jesus is that he works to reconcile our broken relationship. He works to reconcile the broken relationship. Jesus said that his mission on earth, the reason he came, he said this in Luke 19, he said to seek and save the lost. He was talking about lost people, people that were far from God. He pursues us even when we go astray. Another analogy, another relationship analogy that's used in the Bible, even more so than marriage, is the relationship between a parent and a child. Because I think it most reflects our relationship to our Heavenly Father. Jesus taught us to pray to God, our Father. When parents bring a child into the world, there's potential for great joy. But, as you know, there's also potential for great pain. An example that hits close to home for me is the story of my younger brother, Matt. I've never really talked about this from a sermon before, maybe in other conversations, but many of you know that my younger brother, Matt, died almost 2 years ago at age 21 from a drug overdose. Now, I need to tell you about Matt first. That's not the thing I want you to walk away with about him today. He was very well-loved and liked by his family, his friends, and I would venture to say so boldly, anybody who ever met him. He was a very likable guy. But sadly, he made a series of poor decisions in his life. Choices that led to addiction, an addiction that led to death. And of course, his family, his friends taught him better than that, warned him about the consequences, enticed and even begged him to stay at home instead of moving out like he chose to do at a very young age, to stay away from bad influences, to make better choices when we found out about addiction, to remain in treatment and, you know, to keep up with that and be held accountable. But he chose to do things his way. And it had terrible and it had permanent consequences. And those consequences, they break my heart. I'm sure they break your heart every time you think about it. You think about the decisions he made. In Genesis chapter 3, there's a famous passage. It's called the fall. It's when something very tragically similar happened between God the Father and his creation, his kids that he created. The Bible teaches that God loved Adam and Eve, that he taught them what was right and what was wrong, that he warned them the danger of disobedience. He enticed them to choose a relationship with him and stay with it, with love and with paradise. They had everything they needed, but they and we chose to be our own boss. And the consequences were terrible. A separation happened between God and his people that he created. We feel the effects of that separation here on earth. And if something isn't done about it, that separation goes on into eternity, called hell. You see, what the Bible calls sin is really the choice to walk away from that relationship with God. That's really what it is. It's the choice to walk away from it. But the consequence is being away from God. That's the consequence of that decision. The prophet Isaiah put it like this, hundreds of years before Jesus ever came. He wrote this. He said, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." We did it, not God. We walked away from the relationship, even after his enticing us. But God wouldn't leave us there. You see, the passage goes on, still in Isaiah 53, it goes on to say, the Lord has laid on him, talking about Jesus who would come, the Messiah that would come, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. At another point in the passage, it says, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. Again, talking about Jesus hundreds of years before he came. After Jesus had come and he had died on the cross, the Apostle Paul came and he wrote these words, in Romans chapter 5. He said, while we were still God's enemies, all right, we were still breaking the relationship and keeping it broken. He said, while we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. You see, you hear about the cross a lot. Certainly hear about it here at church. If you're visiting, you've heard about it before plenty of times. What Jesus did on the cross wasn't just to die physically. What Jesus did on the cross was he suffered that separation from God in our place. Right there on the cross, he suffered that separation in an instant for you and for me. And so, that relationship that God intended for us, that he built us for in the beginning, that Adam and Eve squandered, that we may have even squandered up until this very point in our life, that option is available to us again because of what Jesus did. We can come back home. We can come back home because of what Jesus did. And that means because he did all the work, our relationship with God is not based on my performance or your performance. It's based on Jesus' work on the cross. My brother Matt, to go back to him and give a happier ending here, my brother Matt, when he was 16, decided to take Jesus up on his offer, and he put his trust in Jesus as his Savior. That means the person who paid for his sin on the cross. And as his Lord, that means his God or his boss. Now, this was at age 16, and I already told you the rest of the story, so it's very clear that he messed things up after that point. Addiction got the better of him, not just to drugs, but also to broken living. But his relationship with Christ was not based on his performance. It was based on Jesus' work on the cross. Jesus did the work to reconcile my brother to him. He does the work to reconcile you and me to him. We just need to take him up on his offer. To give a lighter example, my kids wreck my house every day. They make messes like you wouldn't believe in record timing. They scuff up walls. They are constantly breaking things, losing things. We did not buy a single toy in that room. Grandparents, anyway. They get snot and spit and poop and pee and milk and food over everything in my house, and now you never want to come over. I assure you, Leah and I are constantly cleaning up after them like they're maid and butler, all right? Now, if some random person came into my house, maybe they were going door-to-door selling newspaper subscriptions, and started doing the things that my kids do to my house, I would kick them out immediately. Get out of my house. But of course, my boys enjoy the benefit of sonship. They get to enjoy the benefit of our relationship. Don't get me wrong. As they grow and they have their rebellions and do bad things, I'm going to kick their butts, figuratively. Don't call Child Protective Services. They're my sons. I'm gonna discipline them, of course. But they're always welcome. They're always loved in our house because it's their house. They would have to walk away from us because we're never going anywhere when it's between us and our boys. They'd have to walk away from us. Well, you know what? Jesus isn't going anywhere either with you. He knows you. He knows you. He really knows you. He knows you better than I know you. He knows you. And he still loves you. He died for you. And so what are you going to do about him? He did all the work to reconcile the relationship. Will you enter into that relationship in the first place like my brother did by trusting in him as your Lord, your Savior, as I did years ago when I was a teenager? Maybe you've done that, but there are areas in your life that you haven't handed over to him. Would you hand them over to him today? Maybe you need to work on that relationship by spending some time with your Lord and your Savior, Jesus. Get in the Word, get in prayer. Good start. All right, let's keep going. Number three. Third reason for a relationship with Jesus, and this one is exciting. He offers the best of the best. A relationship with him offers the best of the best. Jesus said it like this. These are his own words. In John 10:10, he said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." He said, I've come that you may have the abundant life. Life and life to the full. This is important. I don't want you to get me wrong today. We're talking about more than rules. I'm not saying God gives us rules so that we will break them, like he wants us to break his rules. He doesn't want us to break his rules any more than I want my kids to break my rules that I give them. Of course not. He gives us the rules for a reason. The Bible, it teaches us the way to live. Jesus' life on earth, when he walked here, he gave us the example of the best way to live, the best possible way. And so to put this in the simplest way, the creator that made you, he knows how you work best. So when you follow him, when you follow Jesus' example and the teaching in his word, you will get the best of the best. I'm not saying life with Jesus is always rosy. It's not always fun and games following Jesus. There are always bumps in the road of life. There are difficult times that fall on each of us. That's my vehicle there. That's not just an example of a bump. That's my example of a bump. Sometimes your car blows up because the Taliban put a hit on you. Difficult times can fall on any of us. They will fall on us. That's this life. That's this fallen world. But I'll tell you what, just for me personally, even when this world kicks my butt, I have a real relationship with the creator of the universe that I can fall back on. Not as a crutch, but like an ambulance. I can just fall on him. He sustains me. I have hope of eternity waiting for me, even if the worst thing happens in this world and they kill me. You know, even if the world just snuffs me out somehow, if I had not made it out of that car, I've got eternity to look forward to. I'm excited about that because with Jesus, the best is still yet to come, and it's foolish not to take that. For those of us that have already been following Jesus for maybe our whole lives, maybe even been following Jesus a long time, but again, there's an area that you haven't been doing it Jesus' way. You know that his example and his teaching offers you the best of the best, but you still, like my brother, decided to do it your own way. How's that working out for you? It's not. It's not going to work out. You know Jesus' way is the best up here. Why aren't you giving that area over to him today? Let's do it now. And then finally, I want to look at the last point on our outline, number 4, and that is this, that a relationship motivates right living. 4th reason to choose a relationship with Jesus, not just rules alone, religion, is because at the end of the day, a relationship motivates right living. Remember back, we read what Jesus called the greatest commandment. He said, this is the number one thing. It was to love God and then love people, right? And then he said something else. I'll put it up there again. He said, all the laws and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. What does he mean by that? Well, put simply, if we focus on loving God and loving people, we will do the right things. We'll want to do the right things. Our love will motivate us. When we do mess up, when those times do happen, and we do the wrong things, our love for God and for people will motivate us to confess it and to make it right and to try to do better next time. The clearest analogy that I see of this in my own life is definitely in my marriage. There are religious rules that Leah and I agreed to at our wedding when Randy was performing the service, as well as state-established laws that we agreed to by signing a state of Michigan marriage license. There's also things that, you know, we did, or those are things like being faithful, you know, sharing everything with her, you know the deal, you remember all the stuff you're going to do. I just did that like I just blew it off. Sorry, honey. I have a little bit to apologize for later. But I'm motivated to do it, to apologize and to get right. There's also things that maybe we didn't necessarily agree to or not, but it doesn't matter. It's just established things in law, like I'm not allowed to hit my wife, you know. And, of course, I'd be doubly foolish to do that because those of you that know her well might know that she knows martial arts. And so that would be silly of me to try that. Now, these rules are in place, and they are important. All right? They help define boundaries. They help to define what's right and what's wrong. But I don't follow the rules in our marriage because Randy's going to yell at me if I don't. I don't follow the rules because I'm worried about the state of Michigan coming in and arresting me if I hit my wife or something like that. No, I don't hit my wife because I love my wife. I'm faithful to my wife because I love my wife. That's my reason. Yes, the rules are there. They establish the boundaries, but I do them. I'm motivated because I love my wife. That's the reason. The rules are not weights for me. They aren't weights for me because of my love. In fact, I would hope that I'm a better husband today than I was almost 10 years ago when we were first married. We got our 10-year anniversary coming up. My love for Leah keeps me reading books about how to be a better husband, to keep trying to look for ways to grow in my relationship with her and to do better things, to find out what she appreciates, what she loves, and to do those things. Find out what pleases her and do it. It's my love for her that motivates me to do that. The rules can be a weight that's hard to bear unless we have the relationship. In the clip, we saw those religious teachers getting that woman caught in adultery. Maybe some of you, especially ladies, you're like, where's the man that was caught in adultery? Well, Jesus seemed to be, in that clip, more concerned about helping her out than pointing that out at the time. But they were really caught up by the rules. But Jesus went beyond the rules to show her that he loves her. He cared for her. And you don't think that that motivated her to live differently? He said, now go out and don't do that again. You don't think that that, of course, that motivated a change in her life to live rightly because she knows the love of Christ now. And we can see that. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 14. He said, if you love me, keep my commands. And then just as an encouragement to you, I went a little further than that. I could have stopped there. But he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Jesus doesn't just leave us alone to follow the rules, and if we don't follow them, he zaps us. That's not it. He actually gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to continue to grow in him, to enable us to do it. And he'll always be with us in our relationship. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward and the band to get ready. But I want to make a note while they're doing that obedience to God is important, just like obedience to me is important for my kids. But a relationship with God is paramount. That's number one. God built you. Jesus built you to have a relationship with him. When we walked away, he did the work to reconcile us so that we could come back to him. He did everything that we needed him to do. He offers us the best of the best. When we follow his way, he offers it the best to us. And because of our love, that weight isn't there. It doesn't need to be there. We've got everything we need to be the completely committed follower. It isn't just about following the rules. It's about choosing a relationship over religion. Let's stand together. Now we're going to pray for the offering and sing one last song together. And maybe you're here, and when we did that chart, you said, I'm single or I'm on the brink of deciding if I'm waiting to go all in. I gave you the four best reasons I can come up with to say go all in with Jesus. If you want to do that today, do what my brother did. Just pray to God. Tell him, I believe that you died for me on the cross, paid for my sins. I want to put you up as the Lord of my life. If you want to talk with somebody more about that, we have the pastoral prayer team down here after the service. Feel free and welcome and invited to come up and talk to them. If you're like me and you've had a relationship with Jesus for years, but there's those areas that you're still holding back from him, that's not worth it. It's not worth it to keep holding those areas back. Maybe you need to make a commitment today to give them over to him and say, I'm all in this relationship all over again.